This is Philip Manning with KTNA News. We've got a little bit of an addition to our Iditarod coverage today. I recorded an interview late yesterday afternoon with KTNA General Manager Will Peterson, who is out on the trail as a trail sweeper. That's the group that follows behind the back of the pack and makes sure everybody gets to Nome safely. We talked a little bit about the front runners, but also about the effect that the trail has had on mushers, dogs, sleds, and snow machines. So stay tuned for the view from the back of the pack. Obviously, the trail was pretty rough for the first part of the race, at least getting up to at least through Nikolai, and 12 teams scratched through there. Is that right?
Yeah, the trail was a mess. You know, the first day, trail was good up the end of river, trail was good up the Rainy Pass, and the gorge was, you know, we're on snow machines, not dog teams, so everybody's hearing the drama and the carnage that went on with dog teams. The gorge for us wasn't as bad as it was for dog teams. We just had to poke our way real slowly down, and a couple of little hills in there. We had our come-alongs out and had to yank machines up some little hills, but after leaving Roan, it got pretty miserable for us. I think it was hard to believe that it might have been easier for dog teams than us, but we had to come along and rope out for three different hills that day. Pete Redondo knows how to crank a come along, or he does now. It was terrible. We were real lucky that we didn't break any machines, and that was kind of our goal to get through there. But it took us, I think that one day we went 6 miles or 10 miles in 6 hours or something like that. But then after we got out of there, the trail got real good, and it's been good, well, for the last 300 miles anyway. And it'll be good for another 200, I think. We're in Galena right now. The last team left here this morning. And we're going to stay in Galena again tonight. Otherwise, we'd pass a bunch of teams during the night. And so we're going to wait here. We're doing a little bit of R&R and repair on machines. And we'll leave in the morning. But and then there's some bare ground going up the coast, but that's not that unusual. There's some tough spots, it sounds like. But should be good. We've had great weather. Now it's supposed to turn to snow up here tonight and blowing. So we'll see what that's like tomorrow, but it's been sunshine and moonshine the whole way.
All right. And, you know, you talk about there has been talk about the trail being hard on the dogs. I think I've perhaps read more about it being hard on the mushers than the dogs. One thing I thought was interesting was even with all the rough trail coming through there, you were still looking at a lot of these teams coming out of there and getting through into Roan and some even getting as far as the coast with 15 dogs on board. Is that indicative of the dogs liking the trail or just getting lucky?
From my experience, the dogs move pretty good on bare ground, and so everybody kind of knew, I kind of knew that it was going to be not too bad on the dog teams, but on gear and the mushers. So I'm not surprised. I mean, we saw so many destroyed sleds. We helped out one, actually Jan Steves, who scratched Rainy Pass. She left Rainy Pass, and it wasn't on a real rough part of the trail, but she did have a dog break a leg. We had to go out and get her, but I don't know any other. I'm sure there were some other dogs with minor injuries, but it destroyed equipment and mushers. You know, we've heard bits and pieces of the stories as we sweep through checkpoints, but I couldn't imagine. You know, personally, I don't think they ever should have. They should have gone out of Fairbanks, is my opinion, but that's just my opinion.
Okay. And then, yeah, that's some of the stories you're hearing about Burmeister with his, I think it's Burmeister, his knee is just completely torn to shreds by now. He's got ACL, yeah. MCL, meniscus, LCL. I think his knee's being held together by duct tape.
Yeah, it's, you know, I think some of those guys get through big teams, you know that about it. Part of it's great driving abilities. I think a lot of people saw the video that Jeff King did on ADN.com going down the gorge. Some of those places you're going downhill, and you can see that in Jeff, you kind of throw your fate to the wind and hope you can get down there using every ability and athleticism you have. But if you're going down a trail and you get your foot on the brake and there's a tussock that's basically a frozen pile of mud and it sticks 6 inches up, I'm amazed more mushers weren't injured. And I'm amazed that more sleds weren't destroyed out there.
Okay, well, we're winding down to the end here. As of today, most recent word is Jeff King's built up about an hour lead on Allie Zirkle out of White Mountain, I think was the last one I saw for certain. Do you think he can hang on to that?
Well, yeah, I don't think there's much doubt. Well, you know, it's a dog race and anything can happen, as we like to say, but she's not going to catch him unless he falters some way. I think it's amazing that Allie's going to finish second for 3 years in a row. I think it's amazing that Jeff is going to win his fifth Iditarod. The guy's earned it, you know, no doubt about it. So, it's real interesting. You know, the cream rises to the top in that front six or seven teams are pretty impressive. I know that a whole lot of people wanted Allie to win. For a while there, you know, Sonny Linder was up front and kind of knocking on the door, and that would have really got Alaska pretty pumped up, I think, if he could have won, or Allie, no doubt about it. But number five for Jeff, pretty amazing.
So now let's take a look at the other end. Do you have a favorite for the Red Lantern?
Well, you know, in the back of the pack here, these four teams that left here this morning, Elliot Anderson's the Red Lantern. He's running a Martin Boozer team. There's no doubt about it. He's going to get there. He's on a puppy pace where they rest a lot and move quickly. And then Lisbeth Norris running Siberian. She's doing fine out there. Monica Zappa's team, we passed them last night coming here to Galena, and her team looked tremendous. And then Alex Buto, the other of the back four, he's running Jake Berkowitz's team, and he's doing the same kind of a thing on a puppy schedule, not trying to be competitive, just trying to get the team up to Nome with a fun time. And he's in great spirits. That team looks good, too. So we're not sure what's going on up in front of those guys, but teams seem to be moving along pretty quickly. Each checkpoint that we go through, the people who are manning the checkpoint, checkers and vets and race officials, everybody's totally blown away with how quick the entire race has gone through. It's about a day earlier for the back of the pack. Clearly that was impacted by some of the normal back of the packers that didn't get through the mountains, Ellen Halverson, Jan Steves, and I'd say Cindy Abbott would have been back here and way in the back if they were able to get through that stretch. But so it kind of shortened up the whole group, but it's moving. We'll be off the Yukon River tomorrow night, which is pretty amazing.
Okay. Biggest surprise of the race so far for you?
That we didn't break a snow machine going through that mess.